This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And now,
the king is in! 5 touchdown passes for Lamar!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The last 4 AFC offensive players of the league have gone Derrick Henry, Lamar.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Earlier on the show,
senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, founder of John Boy Media, Jimmy O'Brien, WWE superstar, The Miz.
Coming up,
actor Ted McGinley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yeah, hour number 3. We've already had a great time so far. Albert Breer in hour number 1 giving us information about tonight's Rams-Vikings game that he will be part of the broadcast on Prime Video, which you can check out right here through the Roku portal. We're right here on the Roku Sports Channel, live every single day between 12 and 3 Eastern Time. We say hello to anybody listening on our terrestrial radio outfits or Sirius XM Odyssey and tune in. We say hello to our podcast listeners, all 3 hours available every single day through our podcast network, the Rich Eisen Show Podcast Network, Overreaction Monday on a Monday. And then on Tuesday, What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. Kurt Warner was their guest this week. Swerve Strickland was the guest of No Contest Wrestling with O'Shea Jackson Jr. and TJ Jefferson. And then today, when we are done, we have Jim Jackson performing once again, or hosting his latest edition of the Jim Jackson Show. Jamal Mashburn is his guest.
Monster Mash.
Which, nice. That should be a good one.
That's going to be fun.
Right?
Talk about the triplet stays in Dallas.
That's every single week right here on our podcast network. So we're greatly appreciative of that. And I want to apologize on our air here for calling you a moron on Overreaction Monday on Monday.
Thank you for saying that.
I want to say that because it just slipped out, you know, when you were talking about Patrick Mahomes is not a top 10 quarterback. And you are believing in, you know, that you have the stats to back up that he's not in the top 10 statistically.
Does he know?
He does. He's not in the top 10 statistically. I still think he's a top 10 quarterback. You and I have been going back and forth about that. I called you a moron and I said, you know, with all love and respect. And then and Chiefs fans have been clipping that and they've been ending the clip with me just calling you a moron. And every single time I'm like, damn it, you know. I don't think you're a moron.
Thank you.
I love you, sir, and I don't care who knows it, and I kind of wanted to say that on this program.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Because I'm wondering how that sits with you, that Chiefs fans are probably hammering you quite a bit this week. But that's okay. You've got a thick skin.
Sometimes it's totally deserved, too.
Well,
it's
I just want to say that.
I said right now with the statement.
I just wanted to say that.
Well, sometimes if you say something moronic, you got to get called out for it. So I got no problem with you saying that.
It happens to me every day.
But part of the Overreaction Monday the thing I think that I love about Overreaction Monday, and I think that works, is there's a certain satiric nature of what we're doing to send up our industry that overreacts to things and what and so Chris is saying what he's saying and does believe a germ. It's sort of like there's always a germ of truth in a joke, and so for me to call you a moron, I felt bad.
I don't think you should have.
Okay, very good.
That's just me. I ain't got nothing to do with it.
I appreciate it. Freddie in Hartford, Connecticut. Let's take Freddie's phone call. What's going on, Freddie? Freddie in Hartford. What's up, Freddie?
You know, yesterday you guys did a whole segment sort of dedicated to the question of whether Lamar is underrated, if, you know, he's going to go down as the greatest player of all time. And that's kind of like become unescapable this season. I mean, if you go on NFL Twitter, like every other tweet is a Ravens fan complaining that he's underrated. The problem is he's in his 8th year and he has 2 playoff wins, right? And so, like, I don't see what the mystery is about, you know, why he isn't considered to be on the level of a Patrick Mahomes. Gardner Minshew has 2 playoff wins, right? Marcus Mariota has more playoff wins than Lamar does. And if these fans are so upset about him not getting the respect he's due, he can just go get a ring and it'll all quiet down.
Well, that you could say that pretty much about anybody, but it was Kurt Warner who said that if he continues to improve in the manner in which he's improving, that by the end of his career, he could be one of the best that's ever done it. He said that on What the Football this week, and we were just having a conversation off of that about how things can work better for Lamar this year because Derrick Henry's there, you know, and his remarkable ability to look down the field while avoiding the rush in the pocket. and know where people are. And it's not just spitballing now. It's an offense that does appear to be in rhythm, and he does appear to know exactly where his guys need to be and where guys are trying to get open. And Derrick Henry now opening things up either for that or him opening things up for Derrick Henry in a manner that Derrick didn't have in Tennessee. It is all working. And you know, Brockman, I think this is overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, just to weave it all together. And thanks for the call, Freddie. Is that you said this week that if they don't go to the Super Bowl this year, it's a disappointment,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, major disappointment.
And so
it's all lined up for them.
That's why I can't push back on that one. You know, last year they were the one seed, didn't make it because it was a situation where their run game disappeared for whatever reason.
Well, they abandoned it.
Well, I know they abandoned it, but it disappeared from the radar screen in a way that we were all wondering why. Yeah. But Gus Edwards and Justice Hill with Keaton Mitchell hurt is a shadow of Derrick Henry leading the charge.
Yeah.
Right? And Zay Flowers also had a turnover and a very young moment where he got called for a taunt that I don't believe. It does appear he's much more grownsed up as a football player, right? And it just feels different. It feels much more balanced and much more run by Lamar Jackson in a schemed timeliness and inevitable manner right now that we haven't seen from them. So I think that, once again, revisiting that subject matter. Jimmy in San Antonio, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jimmy? How are you, Jimmy?
Hey, Jimmy. Viva Fernando Valenzuela.
Yep.
What a guy, huh?
Oh, yes.
I mean, before he went to L.A. and became the phenom, he was in San Antonio. And everybody, it was like a fiesta every time he pitched. Everyone went to St. Mary's University to see the phenom from Mexico, and everyone was so proud. Then he goes to L.A., blows up, and did what he did. Is he the only Hall of Famer whose number's been retired that is in the Dodgers?
What,
the non-Hall of Famer?
You're talking about Fernando?
Correct. His number's retired, yeah.
Right, but he's the only guy who's not in Cooperstown to have his number
correct.
Retired?
Okay. Correct.
I mean, it's worthy. Because, again, Jimmy, as I was saying yesterday, I mean, when the team moves from Brooklyn into Los Angeles, and I understand what I'm saying here when I'm talking about Garvey and Say and Lopes and on the heels of obviously the Koufax era, Walter Alston handing things off to Lasorda, the guy who really connected the city to the multicultural tapestry that Los Angeles is, it was Fernando, right? I mean, I know I'm a New Yorker surfing into this conversation, but I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school here. On that.
No, you're not. And thanks for recognizing that. But I have a new game for the guys.
Okay.
If you want to hear me.
Sure.
Okay. Brockman, Del Tufo, Tej. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Mila calls you Tej. I didn't know that.
It was cute.
How do you say it?
I thought it was cute,
Tej,
too.
Yeah, I guess.
Tej. Okay. New game. Start, bench, practice squad, cut.
Oh.
In regards to World Series tickets in the Eisen household, I'm starting.
Oh, no. Jimmy, I hate this game. No.
Hey, don't cut our collars off, Rich.
Jimmy, this game sucks, all right?
There's another game yet.
No.
I'm sorry I had to cut Susie. You know, her and I get along famously, and I do call her when you're out of town, but I had to cut
Susie. You like that one from yesterday, right? No, I think that game's a terrible idea, and we will not play it.
Okay. But
I appreciate it, Jimmy. Thank you. Jimmy in San Antonio, everybody.
I don't like you cutting Jimmy off like that.
I didn't cut him off at all. He cut himself
start.
Off. Practice squad.
How about Susie? Probably, that was crazy.
Okay, very good. I've got a top five. Top five burning questions entering week 8, the de facto halfway point of the National Football League season. Hit it. Go for it.
Ooh. Oh.
Oh, Mike Delta.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, here we go. My top five. Top five burning questions entering week 8, the de facto halfway point of the National Football League season. Number 5 on this list, with him returning from an injured reserve stint, for yet another concussion. How many times will Tua have us holding our breath? That's number five on this list. I think it's kind of self-explanatory. Him not wearing a guardian cap due to making it a personal choice is a bit of a concern for me. It's not my head. It's not my body. It's not my career. It's not my family. It's none of that stuff. So I will just end at that water's edge there. But him, man, Tua, slide. Please get down. Please get out of bounds. Get rid of the football. Tyreek Hill basically telling all of his fantasy football owners, start me again. We're effing back. I mean, I do hope that all of that optimism in Miami will cash for everybody and that we will not have a single moment against Arizona where we're holding our breath. As he returns, that's number five. Number four on the list is a simple question, and I guess we're going to get an answer here from Andy Reid. What will D-Hop look like with the Chiefs? And it does appear that he will play. Hit it.
Well, it could be this weekend. You know, we'll see how he picks it. I've got to get him on the breath. But right, you know, why wait, right? If he can, you know, without putting him in a bad position.
Yeah, I think he's going to be able to handle it. I don't think he's going to be put in a bad position. And I think that, with all due respect to last year's Tennessee Titans, as Mike Vrabel is going out the door, and this year's Tennessee Titans, with young Callahan Brian as the HC there, I have a feeling that in the hands of Reed and staff and Mahomes, D-Hop will look like the old D-Hop. I'm going to go out and say it. I know yesterday we had an over-under line of 6 touchdowns in 11 games. I said 5.5, right? I took the over. Tej took the over.
Listen to you.
Chris, you took the under, right? You took the under?
Yeah, I'm under.
Okay, so what will DeAndre Hopkins look like with the Chiefs? And it is their return, interestingly enough, to the place where they won their second consecutive Super Bowl. They're back in Allegiant, where, if I'm not mistaken, Patrick Mahomes has never lost. So we will see how that looks like. Number three on my top five burning questions entering week number 8. He had a terrific debut as quarterback of the Steelers. I would ask if will Russ keep cooking, but he's in Pittsburgh now. So will Russ keep smelting?
Yes, well done.
For the Steelers.
Well done.
I sometimes keep pounding away at nicknames that don't deserve to have as much staying power in my desire to keep pounding at it.
You've really calmed down on that, which I'm proud of.
That's because Matt Ryan's retired. But the Mattrel, we'll see if Matt Stafford will take it back. All right, I'm going to drop it. I would love to have let Russ smelt trend. I don't know if the word smelt will ever trend anywhere, but will he keep smelting? The New York Giants and Dexter Lawrence, who leads the league in sacks, are coming to town. It's not that side of the football that a lot of people are wondering about the Giants. But will Russ keep smelting in week number 3? That's the Monday nighter, as the Steelers have yet another standalone nationally televised contest under the lights. Number 2, burning question, entering week 8. And I was kind of iffy on talking about them, because they're a 2-5 team, and why talk about a 2-5 team? But when it is Aaron Rodgers and the Jets and Davante Adams apparently showing up and seeing a lack of urgency in New York that caused him to give a paint peeler of a speech, apparently, that Aaron Rodgers had one of the best locker room speeches he's heard in 20 years, and it's a Patriots team that can really stick it to him. What happens with the Jets season on the line? Because it is, kids. Because it is. Because after this game, for the 40-year-old Rodgers, you got to say, because if he's apparently dealing with a hamstring injury and this hurts and that hurts and this is aching and that's aching and it's getting tougher for him to bounce back, guess what the Jets have entering week 9? A short week with the Texans coming to town to kick off week 9 1 week from tonight. So Jets season's on the line. This is as must-win as it gets, because 2-6 with the Texans coming in is adios, muchacho. And it would also give life to a Patriots team that's in desperate need of it after Gerard Mayo said that the team was soft. That's number 2 in terms of a burning question entering week number 8. And number 1 is quite simple. It's a long one. It's a mouthful, but I'll say it. Will the Cowboys finally get over the 49ers hump or set up another epic Jerry Jones radio hit?
You have got to be smoking something over there this morning.
That's it. I mean, right?
Yes.
49ers hump yes. has been the measuring stick game for the Cowboys year in and year out in the regular season, and they have just been hitting that hump and get what the lumps. I'm just sitting here.
Puma.
I'm just sitting here and thinking, this is the time, right? Juwan Jennings isn't practicing. Christian McCaffrey's not playing. Deebo Samuel just got out of the hospital with pneumonia. Brandon Ayuk's out for the season. This is it. The Cowboys should come off of their bye, even if they don't have Micah Parsons and Tank Lawrence and Deron Bland, and go in there and say, we are all in, and this is us coming off a bye week, and our concepts are great, and we're going to win this game. And if they don't, and they're now 3-4, and they still can't get past the 49ers, well, that's going to be another epic Jerry Jones radio hit on 105.3 The Fan on Tuesday. That's my list of
top. You think we need one more? All right, we'll get one more.
All right, very good. I mean, you're so surprised, Chris. There's one more.
Shocked.
And this one's just, we're going to get an answer real fast. Are the Rams going to really sell Cooper Kupp and perhaps more? Are they really going to do this? Is that really in the mix?
Not if they win tonight.
I don't think so. Albert Breer says they're taking calls. They're not making calls. It's just like, Les is like, my phone's ringing. Oh, hello.
Hello.
What are you? Oh, Cooper Kupp? No, goodbye. You know, It's that. It's like, what do you mean, Cooper Kupp? And more? You know, is 9 really out there? That can't be. Rams win tonight. They're 3-4 going into Seattle the next week. Seattle's got Buffalo in their house. Let's say Buffalo wins that game. Seattle's 4-4. Let's say Dallas beats the 49ers. 49ers are 3-5. Even if the 49ers are 4-4, you're 3-4. You're right there, guys.
Yep.
You're right there. And then you go into Seattle the following week. You beat them. You're 4-4. Seattle's 4-5. And off you go.
You could be in first in 2 weeks.
Off you go.
Whose house?
Rams house.
Let's go.
Because the Arizona Cardinals are this week at Miami. Then they're home for Chicago. Rams win these next two. And even if the 49ers win to go 4-4, they're on a bye week in week 9. The 49ers have lost to the Rams. And if the Rams are 4-4 and the 49ers are 4-4 and the Arizona Cardinals are 3-5 and the Seattle Seahawks are 4-5, I just gave you the path to the 49ers, the Rams being in first place in two games. Or maybe not. We take a break. We come back. Ted McGinley is here. Apple TV Shrinking is a dynamite show. He's dynamite in it. This conversation is going to be outstanding. Talk about TV history. We're going to talk it next.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate. A pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Back on our radio show with Ted McGinley of Shrinking, we just saw a clip of the latest episode from season two. You can catch up on season one in the first three episodes of a tremendous show. Jason Segel, Harrison Ford, Jessica James, Krista Miller, and more, and you, Ted McGinley. And that scene with you and Harrison Ford in it where you're like, you can't believe you're acting with Harrison Ford, right?
I mean, my entire life, my entire career, I've spent wondering what would it be like to be in a movie with Harrison Ford, or at least one scene. And here I am, all of a sudden, a couple years later, I'm in a scene with Harrison Ford. And I have to think before I go in. Okay, I know. I mean, I love Harrison. I love everything he's ever done. So I'm very excited to get the opportunity to have a scene one-on-one with Harrison. But I have to stay in character, and I have to get into Derek and go in there. But the entire time, I got a Goo-Goo Bird sitting there saying, that's Harrison Ford. You're in a scene with Harrison Ford. And there's a set photographer who's taking pictures of every time you pick your nose, no matter what you do, they get a shot of it. Not a single shot of me and Harrison.
What the hell?
And I was like, because I kept saying, you got to send me these, please. I couldn't get any. It was a weird angle. I was like, what? So I have nothing. That's all. So I have that. That's what I'm
going to do.
So I'm at home taking screenshots. My entire house is filled. My wife's like, what just happened?
Yeah. So, but have you not had any conversations off camera with him? Okay.
So we'd had group scenes together. We'd had a couple group scenes. Mm-hmm. And they knew I really wanted to have something with him this season. So they threw me that bone. And it was very exciting because it's also, it really sets up Derek's future. Like, Derek is pretty good at giving advice, and who knows why. But that was incredibly exciting for me. And I think Harrison, I don't know if he knew it or not, but afterwards we're sitting around, and after the rehearsal, he came by and he said, this is going to be great. And it was so cool. I was like, okay, Harrison Ford just said, this is going to be great. So then we go and we're sitting around waiting while they're doing the lighting, and he starts telling me jokes. Now that's our thing. So I say every day, what do you got for me today? And he tells these long sort of, and he plays all the parts very poorly in the jokes, and they take a long time. You're like, is that the punchline?
You gotta know when to laugh. You know,
he is so funny, and he knows that. He does it on purpose. It's the best thing. I look forward to that as much as I do anything else.
I imagine. And then that scene we just saw, because again, Harrison Ford plays a curmudgeonly individual, right?
Yes.
And you play a man, you know, a guy who's, you know, very happy-go-lucky, right?
Yeah.
One would say.
Yes.
And at one point you reach out and touch him in his hand, and he pulls his hand away. Like, was that scripted or was it just a moment?
No. So we're in rehearsal, and I did that, and he pulled it away. And I thought, oh, he doesn't want me. And he goes, do that again. I loved it. So, you know, I mean, that's – Harrison is so open for anything. And on that show, in Shrinking, we get to try – they give you so much space to explore without anyone getting angry or upset with you taking chances. And – Harrison is just the pro's pro. So when you go in there, you think, well, is this going to be okay? And he's like, do anything you want. I love it. You know, he's amazing.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, deep down, he's got to know that there are some people, despite, you know, I mean, you've got a terrific lengthy career of your own here, Ted. You know, and so.
I don't think he even knows my name yet.
Oh, come on.
To be honest with you.
Give me a break.
But he knows where my trailer is. It's okay. The last one. I caught him in the restroom peeing in there.
He's got to know that. I mean, again, Jason Segel's great in it. And, you know, Bill Lawrence, who is titanic in our industry right now in terms of comedies. And then Brett Goldstein, is he around the set?
Yes.
The guy who plays Roy Kent, is he around the set?
Yes. Okay. And he is wonderful to have around set. He's so different from his character on Ted Lasso. I mean, he's really an interesting guy, but also so kind and genteel and present, and is such a great listener. And I'll if I have a little issue with something, I'll come up and say, you know, well, try this. Yeah, he's just so open, and that set is like no set I've ever been on.
Well, I think I just revealed due to my my very busy life, I haven't seen the first three episodes. Brett Goldstein's in the season.
Yes, and his storyline is one you do not want to miss.
Okay,
it's
good.
Brilliant, and he is brilliant, and he's completely opposite from Roy Kent.
Well, the show is brilliant. And again, it's already been renewed for season three, which is amazing news. And Apple TV is available right here on Roku. And Ted McGinley here on the Rich Eisen Show. Is it true, before you get to celebrity, true or false, you played water polo at USC? That's a true story?
That's a true story, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so
I grew up in Newport Beach and played water polo there, and then went into, got a... I guess an athletic scholarship at USC and played there.
Who was an athlete at USC while you were being an athlete at USC?
So Ronnie Lott.
I've heard of him.
So Ronnie Lott and I are exactly the same class. Charles White, Ronnie Lott, Keith Van Horn, Brad Buddy.
Damn.
Anthony Munoz. So I'll never forget this. We're there 2 weeks early for training table. And for what we call Hell Week, and it's 2 weeks of brutal workout as you get back into it, 3 days. And we're coming back from the pool, and we're going to go. We've had dinner, and now we're walking back to campus. And we walked by Brad Buddy and Anthony Munoz and Keith Van Horn.
Mm-hmm.
And hi. And they said, oh, we're freshmen too. I said, you are a freshman? No way. And they were the Anthony Munoz was the biggest human being I'd ever seen.
Still is, by the way.
Yeah.
Can confirm.
Amazing guy. And anyway, that was my entree of the difference of high school sports and college sports, right?
Anthony Munoz is being the personification of welcome to the bigs.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that
that's
my
funny.
Offensive lineman and the defensive lineman in my high school just could wear a bigger shirt. That was about it.
They
weren't really bigger.
I have so many questions about your career. And again, we have a segment that is like your perfect guest for Celebrity True or False. Let's hit it, please. Hit it.
Celebrity True or False.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, there you go. That's our production value.
We'll see if you can handle it.
Here we go. Yeah. Ted McGinley, Celebrity True or False. True or False, your first job in television was Happy Days.
Well, it's false.
Okay.
My first, I did a movie of the week with Jack Albertson and Mary Martin, where I was modeling at the time. And so my job was to run on the beach in the first scene and the last scene of the movie.
And Jack that Albertson?
Was, yeah.
Of Chico and the Man and Willy Wonka fame?
Yes. Yeah. And so they were going to pay me. They wouldn't pay me. They paid me my modeling day rate because they didn't want to give me too much. So anyway, it rained for 13 days that we did the first part, and then they had to keep me for 13. I was the third highest paid person on the show. And then every day, Jack would say, you know, he'd call me into his trailer because I'd have to show up, and then we couldn't get it done. They had other things to do, and Jack said, come on in here, kid, and sit down and just tell me stories. And I thought, well, what is this acting thing? Interesting. And that was the first time I really got interested in it. And I thought, well, this sounds fast. You know, I didn't sit around and watch TV growing up. I loved Elvis Presley. I loved his movies. I wanted to be Elvis Presley and John Wayne. But that was kind of it. I wasn't really into television shows.
And then you got Happy Days off of that?
Yes. So then, well, I got in trouble when I was at USC because I started modeling and doing commercials. And they said I was making money because I was an athlete.
NCAA got involved in Ted McGinley's acting career?
Yes, and kicked me off the team after my junior year.
What?
And I moved to New York City. They said, if you want to come back, you have to pay for your scholarship for your junior year. Go back. Mm-hmm. Pay for your senior year, of which you're not allowed to play, and you can come back for your fifth year. So I moved to New York City to try to make some money so I could come back. Mm-hmm. And that's when I got Happy Days, out of the blue.
Huh. So yeah. Long before there was Reggie Bush, there was Ted McGinley, basically.
Yeah, and by the way, I always sided with Reggie.
Right? I mean, I mean, totally...
By the way, Reggie doesn't know what his stepfather's doing. I'm.
Well, he got his Heisman back. You should get your eligibility back. Get back
I
in
have
the pool, Ted.
Signed... Well, we've talked about that, by the way.
Really?
For real, doing a reality show where the old fat guy goes back and gets in the pool. I'm going to move into the Sigma Chi house. My wife gave me the pass. I can do it. And then, I go play on the team and do it again one year.
We're going to get into Revenge and the Nerds in a second. Wow. But is it – so you go ahead and say your anniversary is today of what?
Yes. So October 24th is an anniversary that I've celebrated for many, many, many years.
Yes.
When I found out that I got Happy Days. And that was literally in 1980.
44 wow. years ago today.
Yeah. And I Whoa. Was staying at my
look at you
my
there,
agent's house
look
on the
at you.
Top of Laurel Canyon in Mulholland.
With the Cunninghams.
And I found out I got the job and I went for a run on Mulholland. And I didn't know. I kept thinking, what does this mean? I have no idea. Can I do this? What is, I knew the show very well, but yeah. Can I do it? And what is, I knew my life was going to change from that day forward, but I had no idea how much. And that, I'll never forget that run and that phone call beforehand. I thought, on that run, I kept thinking, what am I going to do? What's going to happen to me? Well, can I do it?
One of my favorite wow. guests and people I've met through this show is Henry Winkler.
Yeah, he's amazing.
What a great human.
He is a great human being. I learned so much from Henry. I never have seen anyone handle a crowd like Henry can. And we would go into these events or arenas and people would swarm him. And the way he worked with people and the kindness that he showed and respect and yet space, he was amazing. There's no one like him.
Ted McGinley, true or false? Next one. You once boxed Dick Butkus on the Love Boat.
True. 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 What? Yeah, I took him down twice.
What?
Well, that's a lie.
There it is. But, look at that.
But he had bad knees. He had really bad knees, so I just kicked him in the knee.
Why was there boxing on the Love Boat?
Well, I think there's been boxing on almost every show I've ever done. We had a match in the ring and, all I had to do was keep moving. I have no idea why.
Damn. So you boxed Dick Butkus on the Love Boat.
Yeah.
All right. I guess this apropos of nothing, we have another photograph. I'm wondering if you can help us with this this gets out there quite a bit. It's a photograph of you. There's Hulk Hogan, some of the cast members, and I believe that's Tim Rossovich, former
Very
NFL
good.
Player.
Very good.
With Bruce Jenner down there.
That's correct.
What happened? There's more. Was this the Dick Butkus boxing episode? You're in a ring. There.
No, I think Lido this. I think this was a wrestling one. yeah. We, you know, when you get later on in these shows, you take a lot of shots at different things. And so, yeah, if the Miz was here, we try to get him in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to do a big help for his career.
Did you ever think you and Gavin McLeod would be holding back the one and only?
Let me tell you, that was no easy job. The
right
Hulk
there.
Is a beast.
Well, he certainly was bigger back then. Okay.
Yeah.
Next up, celebrity true or false for you, Ted McGinley. You actually had a beef with the Nerds on the Revenge of the Nerds set at first, and it took you a few weeks to warm up to them.
True.
That's true.
Yeah.
You had a beef with the Nerds.
Well, actually, I didn't start the beef. They showed up with some serious attitude. They showed up with some serious nerd attitude, which I was not expecting. And they were separatists. They wanted no part of us. And so after a while, I was like, wow, these guys are a bunch of losers. Anyway, as time went by and we spent a lot of evenings together working, we worked all nights for about a 2-week period. And that was sort of like a campfire every night. And we found a lot of common ground. But initially, it was pretty rough for a while.
Was it really?
Yeah, yeah.
No kidding.
I mean, I found them to be really unfriendly.
the nerds, huh?
Yeah, and I was not expecting that. And I thought, okay, here we go. Like, you want that? Let's do that. And that's how it started.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Who in particular was the one that was leading the nerd beef here? Who was that? Do you remember?
Well, it's the two leads. Are you? Well, actually, the truth is, I mean, Booger was no trip to the beach either, I gotta say. So. Robert Carradine was the lead. He was, you know, I think they were really all so tight. And they formed this amazing group. And I wanted in. And they're like, no, you're not coming in here. And
for real?
I mean, yeah.
Damn. Timothy Busfield and everybody were doing it?
Yes. But as time went by.
Very nice.
Okay. We all got along great. I mean, almost too great. It was so much fun.
So much like the film.
Yes.
Really, in a way.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, we've broken that film down recently. You couldn't do anything we did in that movie today. No. Not a single thing.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. But that was so much fun. We went to U of A, mm-hmm. and we were there for 6 weeks or a month, and they would put an ad in the paper. If we're looking for students, young ladies who want to be in the movie, come on in, audition. They would be in the frat house or the sorority, excuse me.
Right.
And those days after... Before we started the day, we would have dailies, and we would all sit with pizza and beer and sandwiches and have a party and watch what we'd shot the day before. I've never done that before, ever. And you could invite all the co-eds, anybody you wanted, friends, anybody could come in. And we had a huge party in there while we watched the dailies. That does not happen.
No. That sounds incredible.
Sounds better than the movie.
Yeah, yes. And then we would go to work. It was insane.
Wow.
Next one, Ted McGinley, celebrity true or false. You once filmed an episode of Married with Children at an S&M club, and the cast had a 6 a.m. call time arrive just as the club goers were leaving.
True. True. We were in London, and we were doing special episodes in London.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. And we were working the S&M club. And so I was going down. I was wearing a patent leather outfit, as I remember. And all of a sudden, I had to pee. So, and by the way, I mean, getting in these costumes, it takes an hour to get in. It's no joke. You have to have powder all over your body. And so I went down there. And as I went down into the bathroom, there was like four... like a couple guys, a couple girls kind of on the floor in the bathroom, changing, and I'm not sure what else was going on. And I thought, this is 6 in the morning, and they still had business to do. It was amazing. I could not get over that. Anyway, and I had to stand there and pee while they're all having a conversation, whatever else was going on, right next to me.
So Ed O'Neill was in an S&M club in London, is what you're saying?
I don't think Ed was in that part of the episode, but Ed would have been.
You got a good Ed O'Neill story? Do you got a good one?
I can't. I have so many great. I love Ed O'Neill. I think I just watched that clip that you had on earlier, and that is, he's the greatest raconteur of stories.
The best.
Burt Reynolds was the only guy I knew that was like that. Mm-hmm. Ed is the best. And he had so much to do every week, and the way he would carry himself and got through all of that was amazing. Mm. Great cast, but it all started with Ed and ended with Ed. But we had an episode. We were doing the title shots, and he and I are sitting at a table, and they're going to have a lady with some beautiful legs stand on top of the table. And so we have no idea. We get there in the legs, and we both look up, and we had a lot of, I guess you could say, strippers on the show at the time. And so she forgot a piece of her costume, and no one told us. Oh. And Ed and I both were trying to be professional. I'll never forget us, you know, because they said, can you take a sip and then look up? And we look up and, oh, no. And I remember that moment of seeing Ed's face, sharing that moment together. And that was Married with Children in a capsule. I mean, they love to put you in those situations and watch the response. It was so much fun.
Yeah, I want to talk about things you can't do today.
Yeah.
That show.
Oh, well, you certainly can't do that bit.
That bit.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
Last one. True or false? You were once in a comedy improv group with Sam Kinison.
I was in a class
with him.
Yeah. And Sam. So that is true. And so when I first came on to Married with Children, I did a Christmas special. Mm-hmm. And I played the husband that Katie would have married had she not been with Ed. And it was a perfect life. It was. And Kinison played the angel. Mm. And so, and I knew Sam from that improv class.
Yes.
So when I first got on Happy Days, they said, listen, there's a class here on the studio. If you want, you can get into it. It's really fun. And I had no idea. And I was afraid to make a fool of myself. Now that's all I do. but back then, we went into class, and Kinison was there, and it was the great Harvey Limbeck was his class. And that was magic times. Really, really fun. But Sam's on the show. Sam kills it at the table read. The next day, he no-shows, and no one knows where Sam is. Not a good idea in television. They were worried about him anyway. So some people had seen him out the night before. Some cast members had seen him somewhere. And so that was a deal. So the next day, Sam shows up. He knows everything inside out. He was having tooth surgery, he said, and couldn't communicate with anyone. Mm-hmm. So the next day he shows up, and he has lunch hosted by Chasen's, being carried by strippers to all of us. And the next day he opened his new album, comedy album, for us all, and had lunch again. So he made up for it greatly, and he killed it. He was cool. So good in the episode. But that was Sam. I mean, he was one of a kind. I loved him. He was and deep down, like, the kindest, sweetest guy.
I mean, him and Back to School is classic. Anything, any of his stand-up routines are classic.
He killed me.
No,
I loved him.
No doubt. Yep. So before I let you go here, we had Henry Winkler on, and we talked about jumping the shark with him.
Uh-huh.
He cursed. I've never, remember he cursed? Yeah, because he said, you know, the whole business of Happy Days, jumping the shark, that, you know, that. But he said we were number one 5 years after that, so F him is what he said. That's your approach to your part in the lexicon of jumping the shark.
Yeah, I don't know how I got dry. I had nothing to do with the shark. And Henry should have stood up and said, I'm the one who jumped the shark.
That's right, I know.
That F him. Look, we did great, and we've done it.
Right.
It's so hard to get a show on the air just for 1 year.
Right.
But to keep going is really a thing. And anybody who's actually doing it knows how hard that is. So, I mean, it's been interesting. But, F them, for real.
Guess what? Shrinking just got picked up for year three.
Yeah.
So it ain't you, Ted.
No.
It ain't you.
I've been trying to say that for a long time. But
44 years in running.
As
of today.
Yes. Oh, man.
That's pretty cool,
that
Matt.
Can't believe it.
We have been big fans of yours. When we heard that, you know, it was possible to get you in here to talk shrinking and everything else, we were like 100%. Like, all of us were like, this is exactly
thank
the...
You. Thank you. I love you guys. I appreciate it.
Back and at you, too,
I'm
man.
A huge fan.
Thank you.
Same the way you felt with watching Harrison Ford and you is how I kind of feel looking at you.
Oh, come on.
And me, right? Yeah. It's Ted McGinley. Jefferson Darcy, man. Like, come on.
You know, I literally, when I said I went through my whole life wondering, as an actor, as a sort of trying to make it, I remember I did Pearl Harbor, and I thought, I'm finally going to get to see what it's like to be, it's Ben Affleck and Josh Hartnett and Alec Baldwin. I'm going to be on the set with these guys. Like, what are they doing that I'm not doing? What is this? Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, okay, I could do this. You can do it. You're still in there. You got it. And with Harrison, you realize he's in his own class in my book, and I can see why when I watch him work and I watch the minutiae of how he goes about it, and he's such a pro.
Yeah.
But you watch how he treats every single person on that set, from the person who greets him when he drives on the lot to the biggest producer on the show. They're all the same. And you can learn a lot by watching a guy like
that. Well, and again, you could feel it watching the show. It looks like you're all having fun doing it, you know, and it's just an incredible watch. And I'm so psyched that Shrinking got picked up for year three.
Thank
and then you.
You
come back anytime, man.
Oh, I will. And next time, maybe you can watch the first three. Yeah. I know you don't have anything else to do.
Three children, two jobs, Ted.
I know. Believe me, I don't know. I haven't even seen the three.
Okay.
So.
Well, we've seen a clip. Ted McGinley here on the Rich Eisen. Everybody check out Shrinking on our Roku platform through Apple TV.
Thank you.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happening. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood1 to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/Westwood1.
You are an accomplished water skiing enthusiast.
Yes,
you
I
once
am.
Worked as a water skiing instructor.
Yes, I am.
When the Happy Days writers found out, they wrote it into the script,
yes.
And that's how Jump the Shark was born.
Okay, my father said to me, "Tell Gary Marshall you water ski." I said, "I'm not telling him I water. Tell him you water ski." So he told me enough times. I went to Gary. I said, "I'm just going to say this. My father wants you to know I'm a water skier, and I was a counselor in camp as a water skiing counselor." All of a sudden, I'm water skiing. I pull up on the beach. I let go of the rope. I pull up on the beach. I step out of the skis, and I go, "Hey, look at that," and I'm smiling.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the scene, half of that smile is the Fonz going, "Hey, I did it." And the other half is Henry going, "Oh, I can't believe you did it." True.
And you are aware of the phrase "jump the shark."
I am.
And it's meaning within the pop culture.
Yeah, I am.
Right?
A young man, John Heim.
John Heim. Yeah, he's a Michigan guy.
A Michigan guy in his dorm room.
Yeah.
With his roommate, don't know his name. They came up with the phrase "jump the shark" because of that episode.
Yes.
And I met him years later. Now, this is America. He comes up with a phrase. There's a book. There's a game. He's on the radio, on the Howard Stern Network.
That's true.
Now, people say, "How did you feel?" Well, you know, that this phrase, "jump the shark," every time they mentioned it, and it was in the newspaper, they had a picture of me water skiing. At that time, I had great legs. So I didn't care for 1 minute. We were number one for 5 years after that. What did I care?
That's
that
true.
There was a phrase.
That's true. That's true.
The best. That's it, everybody. Thanks for being here. Ted McGinley, everybody. There he goes, back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I also want to let everybody know Game Time Tickets is the perfect place for you to buy tickets for anything in your area, sports, concerts, comedy, theater, many other events. The new Game Time feature, Game Time Picks, makes it even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Only incredible deals. That's what Game Time Picks shows you. on the great seats that you're looking for. So you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of other tickets. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. We love it. You should use it. I just used it recently for a particular event.
Oh, interesting.
Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it?
Game time.
It's also time to hear from DeAndre Hopkins, the new Kansas City Chiefs. He has now spoken. Look at him in red.
I mean, look, it takes your game to a different level. It takes your focus, your drive, knowing that you're playing for something. It takes your game to a different level. I haven't played meaningful football in a couple years since, you know, we probably started 8-0 in Arizona. So, you know, it takes your game to a different level.
Oh, guys.
You know how Derrick Henry looked awesome in the Ravens uniform, and we knew it immediately? He is going to look amazing in the red.
It's right. And in the same way, you're like, Derrick Henry's playing for the Ravens. How the hell did it take so long for this to happen? It's the same thing here. That's why I'm...
What should happen 2 years ago?
I know that, but it has happened. Oof. DeAndre Hopkins is playing for the Chiefs in Andy Reid's system with Mahomes throwing to him?
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I know. Upgrade. I know.
A lot of 6 yard slants.
We'll see it. That could be taken to the house. My goodness gracious.
6-0. That's the only important thing.
I know. Right. Soon to be 7. And then who knows how much after that. DeAndre Hopkins is a Chief, people. What a show. Fun stuff. Man, we'll be back on Friday. Don't you dare move. We'll wrap it up on Roku.
Met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Baby S is giving me money making moves in the world. So I'm gonna have one kid who's like, I want to just live in a box and do like artistic dancing and paint. Ocean's gonna be like, it doesn't matter if I'm broke, mom, I'm passionate about it. And Baby S is gonna be the one that says passion doesn't pay bills. Ocean,
watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.